You know, there's a time where we got to think about what the church is really all about. And the last couple weeks, I've kind of preached a little bit, you know, just a little bit. And today, I kind of want to tone it down just maybe a little bit, but not too much. Because I want to do a little bit more of a teaching than preaching this morning. And I think it's important. But, you know, the church is not just a building. It's not. It's not just an organization. It's not even just programs that we do. But it's a living, breathing body of Christ. Amen? It's made vibrant. It's made for a purpose. It's made to be unstoppable. You hear me this morning. It's made to be unstoppable through the ministries that has been ordained by Christ. Christ gave the church some primary gifts. He gave the apostles, he gave the prophets, he gave the evangelists, he gave the pastors, and he gave teachers. And each are designed to equip believers, build up the body of Christ, and foster unity within that body of Christ, foster it to maturity. We're there to bring maturity and to love one another in Christ Jesus. Amen, that's right. We can't forget that. And most of this is known as fivefold ministries or the fivefold gifts. We have the apostles, and I'm going to read definitions of what the apostles. It says the term comes from the Greek. It means one who is sent. Apostles are really the foundational leaders tasked with spreading the gospel, establishing churches, and maintaining doctrinal truth. Now you think about that. They serve as Christ's messengers and governors, often pioneering new ministries and guiding the church through vision and authority. I'm reading these definitions, okay, and then we're going to get to some more stuff. Then we have the prophets. The prophets were derived from a Greek word, and the definition for that Greek word, one who speaks forth, okay? Prophets, they receive God's revelation to edify and exhort and to guide the church. They bring clarity of God's will to the church. They provide encouragement. They deliver warnings and sometimes foretell events. And this is all to ensure believers remain faithful and spiritual and spiritually aligned with God. These are important things Christ gave to the church. Now, I want you to understand this. They all play a very important role. And there comes encouragement, but also some accountability. Okay, then we have the evangelist. In the Greek, the meaning there is giver of good news. The giver of good news. The evangelists are gifted to proclaim the gospel to non-believers. And I know that some people, you know, you come in and you think, man, they're just gifted speakers. They've got a way of delivering the message that is encouraging, inspiring, and they're just good at that. Well, those evangelists are gifted by God. They've been given a gift to do that, right? They're to help bring non-believers to become believers, bring people to faith in Christ, and their focus is on outreach and conversion and inspiring others to engage in spreading the good news. Then we come to pastors. Put in quotations as shepherds also. That Greek definition of pastor there is shepherd. Pastors care for the spiritual welfare of the congregation. They nurture and they protect and they guide believers, ensuring their spiritual growth and stability. Because this role, it overlaps teaching sometimes. Because pastors are also teachers. Sometimes some people have more than one gift. It helps us to combine oversight and instruction to maintain a healthy church. And then we come to teachers. The Greek meaning there is instructor, simply, literally, just instructor. Teachers explain and apply Scripture. I want you to listen to the definitions. Grounding believers in sound doctrine. They help the church understand biblical truths and apply it in practical ways. They help equip members for service and righteousness. You see the encouragement, but yet accountability in those definitions. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12 is where we find this. And it says this, "It was He who gave some to be apostles, and some to be prophets, and some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for work of service so that the body of Christ may be built up." Now listen to that. Think about that for a moment. The church is not a passive institution. It's a living organism. I hope you're all alive this morning, right? Breathing, right? We're the body of Christ here. We're lit. We're alive. But we're also supposed to be powered and guided by Christ through His Spirit. Hear me? We're supposed to be filled with the Spirit, seeking the Holy Spirit's guidance and direction, learning towards maturity. And He has appointed leaders and mentors and ministers, not merely on their own benefit. Sometimes I don't. If you're a pastor, and I know Brother Keeley will share this, you're called, but yet you don't hardly feel like you really chose the battles that you have to fight. It becomes something like, I didn't really choose this, but yet I did, but yet I answered a call, right? He's appointed these leaders and mentors to equip each of us to serve, to grow, to reflect. What? What are we to reflect? Christ's glory. Christ's saving, transforming power to this dark world we live in. Because this world we live in needs Jesus more than ever right now, I think. It's always need Jesus, but right now, this world needs a church that is focused on bringing people to Jesus. So let's look this morning at these foundations that Paul gives us. So we look at this. Christ appoints ministries, gifts His church with these ministries. That's number one. Christ appoints. I want you to remember that. We don't just choose, I just want to do this. No. Christ appoints someone to do this. Christ gave these offices to His church. That the Greek definition there for gave, it's deliberate. It's purposeful. And these are not human inventions. They're divinely appointments. And each office has a unique role, but all coverage on the same purpose, building the church. Amen? Amen. These are to build the church in Christ's kingdom. This word equip literally means to prepare in the Greek, to complete, to make ready. I like that. When he talks about equip, to prepare, to complete, to make ready. Preparing them for service. Notice this is not just for leaders. It's not just for leaders' glory either. It's not just to say I have a position. Because it's more than that. It's a divine position. Because it affects the whole body of Christ. I read a quote from John Piper, and he said, God's gifts are given for the sake of others, not for the personal prestige. The leader who builds others builds the kingdom of God. I mean, you know, most of you know I like gardening. And a lot of times for myself, I plant way too much. So a lot of times I do it on accident, but a lot of times I do it on purpose. Because I'm planning for somebody else. And see, that's what we do as a church. God gives us the gifts to plant seeds that somebody else most likely will harvest. Right? We're not really planting for ourselves. We're raising up a generation and teaching a generation so that the next generation can teach the next generation and so on and so forth. And I would have to say, if you thought in your mind, how good are we doing? Let me even make it more personal. How good are you doing? Now, I said I wasn't going to really preach hard today. I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm just trying to bring reality in to the purpose of the church. It's true with leaders in Christ. We plant and we water and we nurture so that each disciple can bear fruit. That's the idea. I want people to grow into healthy plants, if you think of that, so that you can bear fruit. In the garden, if you've got a plant that's just not doing well and it's not producing any fruit, what do you do with it? You pull it up and you throw it away, right? Because it's taking up space. It's not doing any good. That's harsh to think about. Let's look at the apostles and prophets. They're the foundations for the church. They're the sent ones, the pioneers of the gospel. They're establishing churches and proclaiming Christ's authority. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it reminds us of this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. The apostles' authority is rooted in Christ and in the Holy Spirit. When we look at the Old Testament, we see the Spirit very alive in the works that the apostles did, don't we? You know, there's apostles that we have today in the church. They just didn't go away or disappear. These things didn't end. We think of church planters and missionaries who bring the gospel to the unreached people. Let me tell you, they are called and they have been gifted with what they need to do the work that they have before them. We think about the prophets or the spokespersons for God, guiding the church, calling it back to obedience, revealing God's purpose. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3 says, "But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort." I think we get confused on what these things mean sometimes when we think that Greek translation of encouragement, I love it. It carries the sense of the same calling of alongside someone in both comfort and correction. We're to help each other, right? Man, we're not perfect. Perfect in spirit, yes. But sometimes we mess up. And the idea is to come along somebody and love on them and help them through that hard time that they're going through in their life. And that's not easy to do, but man, there's just some people that are so good at it. And that's the Holy Spirit working in their life. You know, these prophets, they ensure that we don't drift away too far. They help correct us, correct our course, and get us back on track. And both of those things are vital for our journey in this life following Jesus. When you think about evangelists, pastors and teachers that are here to equip the saints, evangelists, their focus is on the lost. I'm not saying we all shouldn't focus on the lost, but evangelists, they're gifted to focus on the lost and proclaim Christ with clarity and passion. In 2 Timothy, it says, do the work of an evangelist and carry out your ministry fully. Now, he doesn't exclude, because I think there's a little bit of evangelist in all of us, if you want to be real about it. If you're saved and filled with the Spirit, let me tell you, you're gonna have a passion for lost people. You're gonna care about those people who are dying and going to hell. And you're gonna want to see them come to know Jesus. To carry out our ministry. He says your ministry. That's personal, isn't it? How's your ministry going for you? You know, evangelists are everywhere. They're in the pulpits. They're in the workplace. They're online platforms now. They're in homes. And they're reaching those and bringing people to Christ. Let's think about pastors and teachers. They kind of come together, shepherding the flock and grounding believers in Scripture is essential. We've talked about that before because knowing what you believe is important. Amen. Knowing the Scripture is important. It's vitally important that we are all on the same page as Nazarenes. Hear me? If you're a member of this church, we should all be on the same page in our doctrine. If we're not, there's a problem. Then there's conflict. It becomes opinionated. Well, I think this. Well, I think that. No. What does Christ say? What's the Bible say? Paul had that same conversation with one of the churches. He writes a letter and he's like, it's not about Apollos. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. That's the gospel that we preach and that's the gospel that we claim and that's the gospel. It always comes back to Jesus. Anything else, you go off the rails. When it comes to pastors, we're called to provide care and teachers provide clarity. And like I said before, many pastors serve as both teacher and pastor. You know, the teacher's job is very important, though. It was so important that the Apostle James writes in chapter 3. He writes this warning, and I'm telling you, it scares me sometimes. He says this, not many of you should teach. He says, not many of you should be teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Ooh, man, I'm telling you, that really weighs heavy on me at times because I know that I better be right about what I'm teaching. I better be studied up and I better be doctrinally sound. Because if I'm not, Man, one of these days I got to stand before God and He's going to say, you taught what? Or maybe He'll say, I didn't know you because you didn't care about what really the truth was. You wanted to preach your own opinion. Man, there's a whole, I'm telling you. You know, the work of a teacher ensures the church is rooted and nourished and mature. Another quote I read from Tim Keller, he says, a healthy church is not a museum for saints. It's a training ground for disciples. You know, I think that echoes Paul's teaching, and because these ministries exist to prepare every believer, not just the clergy, for the kingdom work. Every one of us have a purpose. If you're a believer and you come to church, you have a desire. Let me tell you, we've all got a purpose. We all have this purpose of bringing people to Christ, and maybe it's to encourage one another. Maybe it's to there's just all kinds of things that Christ gives the church, but these five are the most important. 1 Corinthians 12:4-7. So there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men and ladies. Now, to each one of the manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good. I love that. NLT translation, I'm going to read it again because it's just so good. There's different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Don't you like that? Paul says, you know, we get caught up sometimes and we fight against flesh and blood. And Paul's like, nope. Folks, we don't fight against flesh and blood. There's a different thing we fight against. We have to be united together for the same cause, serving the same Lord, filled with the same Spirit, but we all do many things. You know, there's a Greek word, charisma. And the definition of it, it means a grace gift. Divine endowment. I like that. You know, we've been given a precious gift. And I've said this many times, it's not to be buried in the ground. It's to be multiplied. These teaching and administration and encouragement and healing and prophecy, all meant to strengthen the church and reach the world. I think about an orchestra and I think about music, you know. When one person's off, it messes everything up, doesn't it? Yeah, me, Trey and John, it's like, if we fight against each other and the beat's not there, then it messes the singers up. I mean, it just messes. It's a train wreck, right? Not that we try our best, okay? Sometimes it's a train wreck anyway. But we strive to be better. And we practice to be better. It's the same with the church. It's the same with us. We're not always perfect. Sometimes we get a little offbeat, but because if we're unified in Christ and we're doing working as a church should work, then we have others around us that encourage us, say, okay, guys, we got to get back on track. We got to get back on the same beat. We got to get on the same tune. And that's what we do together. Amen? So it is with the church. Diverse gifts, one spirit, one purpose. So let me ask you this morning, I want you to think about this as a reflection time. What gift has God given you? What gift has He given you? The second question is, are you using it for Him? Think about that. The truth is that what I see is many talented people with good intentions. And they're serving in positions all over the country. And I wonder if maybe there's something more behind that is why our churches struggle so much to grow. Because sometimes I think people serve in positions for two reasons. Or three reasons. How's this? One is they were divinely called to do so. Second, it is there's no one else to do it, so they do it. And third is they do it because they just want to. This is not just all my thoughts, okay? There's a great number of books, articles and teachings that I've read that back up what I'm saying. You know, ministry and gifts are meaningless if they're disconnected from salvation in Christ. If you're not saved, if you're not saved, then teaching is going to be meaningless, ineffective. Only those who've been reconciled to God can truly build His church. I don't care what commentary you read, they're all going to tell you the same thing. That's why I say this is, most of this is not new, right? So there's some things that we need to do as believers. We need to identify our gifts. We need to reflect and pray, and we need to seek counsel from mature believers. Sometimes we have a tough time doing that. We need to engage with the local church and serve under leaders who equip and challenge you. I remember, I'm trying to think who it was that said, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. Because you're not being challenged. I think that's a great statement. Because even the Apostle Paul, and I heard Leonard when they were teaching this morning, Leonard talked about this. Paul said, in his letter, he said, I haven't attained it all. Not that I've got it. And here's Apostle Paul writing this. You'd think he would know it all, right? He's like, no, I haven't attained it all. I still got more to learn. I still got more to get out of Jesus. And He's got more to get out of me. Amen? Sometimes we think that it's over in our ministry. Sometimes we think we've gotten too old to lead somebody to Christ, and all of a sudden somebody from the post office stops by and delivers a package. Next thing you know, you're inviting them in the house. Next thing you know, they're getting saved. Divine appointments. You're never too old. You know, sometimes I think we're like a relay race. That's the way ministry is like. The apostles and the prophets and the pastors and the teachers and the evangelists, they're all have their place around the track, and One runs down and hands the baton to the next, and so on and so forth. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. But each one of us got to run our leg of the race, right? The church is alive and active because of Christ's ministries and all these gifts of the Spirit working together. And you know, are you part of that story? I ask you, are you part of that story? Are you called to serve, to be equipped, to bear fruit for His kingdom? And my call to the church is let us be active in the church. Not just spectators, right? But active participants in God's mission. That's important. Unfortunately, things are left up for just a few people in the church most of the time to get everything done. And it's always like that, it seems to be. Do you love the church? If you love the church, you'll do the work of the church. If you love Jesus, you'll do the work of the church because you love Jesus. I think sometimes Jesus just becomes part of our lives and not the center of our life. Because let me tell you, when it comes to our Christian faith, it's all about Jesus, isn't it? We're just 2 weeks away from Easter. Man, such an important day. The biggest, one of the most important days, right? Of their Christian faith. And this morning, we're going to take a moment here, and they're going to hand out communion. And we're going to take communion this morning. And so I would ask you, as they're handing the communion out, and we're prepping for that, that you think about your life in Christ. You think about the gifts that maybe you have that you're not using. Because they are divine and they are ordained by Jesus. And I'd say this, if you haven't trusted Jesus, maybe you've never really fully give your life to Him. Maybe you've kind of been on the fence about it. Maybe it's just been kind of one of these days. That maybe right now you'd take that moment and accept Jesus. Heavenly Father, we humbly come to You this morning, Lord. We pray for our gifts to be anointed, to be revealed. Lord, we pray that all these things that we give to the church, Lord, let it be given to You. Lord, and we glorify and worship You in all that we do. Because, Lord, this is all about You. This is Your church. So, Lord, fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And let us leave here better than we came today, filled with Your Spirit. Souls on fire. Gifted. Anointed. Ready to share the gospel with this dark world. Lord, give us a compassion for lost souls. So many people around us that need to know about You. Help us. And I praise You in all these things. And the church said, Amen.